Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And with that, the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. This great solemnity, we celebrate three awesome things. The first and the most important is this solemnity is all about God and His action. I think the most important takeaway the church wants us to grasp today is that when we mark Mary's Immaculate Conception, she had nothing to do with it. It was all God. Because God always acts first. We see that action foretold in today's first reading at original sin. God put into His promise right then what we call the first gospel. That He would have a woman and He would put enmity, hatred, scorn, contempt between her and evil, between her and the devil. And that's the plan that was fulfilled at the fullness of time. It started today. There's great fittingness to the fact that Advent encompasses this great solemnity because this is one of the highlights of God's Advent, Advent from God's perspective, that He set in place the motion for the Messiah by preserving Mary free from all stain of original sin about 47 years before her son would redeem her and all the rest of us on the cross. Because what Jesus did on Calvary is eternal. It was able to be applied anywhere throughout time. It was taken and applied there at the moment of her conception in the womb of Saint Anne. So this feast is first about God and God's action. If we're going to draw a lesson from this, it's first to let God act. On the day of our baptism, for most of us, I think, I'm not sure if anybody was a convert here, But for those of us who were baptized when we were mere infants, we had nothing to do with it. It was God who in his Son was, as we were hearing in today's second reading, filling us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, restoring us to the fullness of grace, as he preserved Mary from the beginning. God always acts first. And so the greatest way for us to celebrate this feast day is to learn from what Mary's response was later in the gospel. Fiat, act, Lord. I give you total permission. The second thing we mark with great thanksgiving today is Mary's correspondence with this great gift of the Lord. She grew into the reality of her vocation and mission. It's very significant for me that when she came and spoke to Saint Bernadette in 1858 in France, she identified herself as the Immaculate Conception. I am the Immaculate Conception. In today's gospel, we see the name that God gave her when he sent the Archangel Gabriel. It wasn't the name Miriam given by Joachim and Anne. It was Kei Keratomene. Rejoice, you who have been filled with grace. Today, in his Angelus meditation in St. Peter's Square, Pope Francis spoke what it means to be filled with grace. Just like St. John Paul II wrote about extensively in Redemptoris Mater, to be filled with grace means to be filled with God. There's no room anymore for sin, because sin, which is privation anyway, is totally driven out by God's fullness. And Mary never reduced, she never stifled, she never rationed that gift of God. She always let it flourish within her. Pope Francis said, how did she do that? One of the most important ways is that she was filled with the Word of God. She wanted that Word to take on her flesh. She cooperated fully with whatever God was asking. And she found what God was asking first in his Holy Word. Today's responsorial psalm, we, with singing, sang to the Lord a new song. Even though we've sung Psalm 98 many times before, there's always something new that we put in. And Mary's Magnificat, her song which will echo every evening until the end of time, was the fruit of this deep understanding of sacred scripture, such that 1, 2, 3 days max after the Annunciation, as she made that hasty journey, 60 miles to Ein Karim, she was ready to explode with this synthesis of the canticles of the Old Testament that applied to the heroic women, interweaving them all, placing all of them as pieces within a huge mosaic that made sense, that all of them were pointing to her. Kind of unbelievable. Pope Benedict used to love to describe that phrase in St. Luke, both at the finding of the temple as well as at the visit of the shepherds and the magi, that Mary pondered these things, treasuring them in her heart, that there are two verbs there in Greek. The first, to ponder, to meditate, is to put all the pieces together like the tesserae in a mosaic. And the second was to hold on to it as the greatest treasure. And Mary was constantly doing that with the Word of God. And that strengthened her always to correspond with grace. Many Protestants have many mistaken notions of the way Catholics approach Mary, because a lot of the times what they hear from the Catholics that they know is totally mistaken about Mary. And so it's important for us to get some theology straight. Mary could have sinned. Jesus couldn't. But Mary could have sinned. But she never chose to. She who had been filled with grace never lost it. And she continuously intensified it. by her correspondence with God's word, so that she would be able to say to God through the same archangel who had spoken to her, "Let it be done to me according to your word. Let my whole life develop according to this unbelievable grace." The same Lord who sent the archangel Gabriel to speak to Mary and say, "Rejoice, you have been filled with grace. The Lord is with you," wishes to say that to each of us, especially to you. "You are blessed among women for believing that what the Lord has said to you would be fulfilled when he called you. You've been filled with grace. The Lord himself is with you because grace is our sharing in God's own life as creatures." And so she shows us precisely how to correspond and how to grow. The second response to today's great solemnity is for us to seek to imitate Mary in this holy correspondence. But like an infomercial, there's more. And we can focus on this in a particular way this year as we finish the centenary of Our Lady's apparitions in Fatima. What happened there? Mary announced two things highly relevant to this feast that most were living without enmity for sin. That the three visions that were given to the shepherd children about hell, about the progress of communism, atheistic communism, and then the persecution of the church, including the shooting of a bishop dressed in white, and the blood dripping from a cross at the top of a mountain, which would be St. Peter's Basilica at the top of the Vatican Hill. All of that. There was no enmity. In fact, there was great cooperation with the slithering devil. So what she asked was first for the three kids to pray for the conversion of sinners, to suffer for the conversion of sinners. And they responded readily and in a holy way. If they could do it at 7, 8, and 10, excuse me, what are we waiting for? As part of that, as the remedy, Mary wasn't just going to give him an external suggestion or command. She was going to involve them in her own response. She asked for the consecration to her Immaculate Heart, their consecration, the consecration of the whole world, especially atheistic Russia. She wanted to bring them into that heart that treasures God, that puts everything together, including drawing good out of our evil, synthesizes it in a beautiful mosaic of all the saints, and we're in it. She wants to involve us in her own response, in her own enmity. I do that for you. Where is she? There she is. Just I didn't see you get startled, though. But I never do that without thinking of you. She wants to involve us in her own enmity. And she also wants to involve us in her own fiat, in her own yes. St. John Paul II, when he would reconsecrate himself every morning with that beautiful prayer of St. Louis Marie Grignion de Montfort, totus tuus ego sum, totum mea tua sun, cipio te in mea omnia. Pray be mihi cor tuum, O Maria. Give me your heart, O Mary. That's what he finishes with. This was not just an exchange, but a participation in that heart that is stronger than all the weapons in the world, as Pope Benedict would write later. Mary wants to bring us into that heart. And then the second thing that she says is, "My Immaculate Heart will triumph." That at the end of time, our participation in what God has done in her heart and the way she responded. It's going to lead us to victory with her. What an extraordinary gift. Today, as we celebrate her solemnity, we thank God for his action. We thank him for filling her with every spiritual blessing in the heavens and letting that every spiritual blessing take on her own flesh in her womb. And we thank the Lord for loving us so much that he sent her to mother us, not just from the outside, but to allow us to enter into her beautiful, continuous, faithful response to God. The greatest way we celebrate this is what we do now, in which that same son for whom she was immaculately preserved to be able to house him within comes to take up his abode in us. Today again, we're filled in, not just through, but in Christ, with every spiritual blessing. Let us begin to sing a new song, magnifying the Lord, that will never grow tired. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.